Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of FinTech Unleashed 10 in 10. My name is Virginia Habern with Engage FI. In 10 minutes, I'm looking at 10 important new developments in the world of financial services in February of 2024, and I'll offer my thoughts on what it all means to banks, credit unions, and fintechs. The blockbuster news story in February was the announcement by Capital One of its potentially disruptive agreement to buy Discover Financial Services for a whopping $35 billion. Now, Capital One would become the sixth largest bank in the United States with $450 billion in deposits and also own the fourth largest credit card payment network. It would be premature to herald this deal as transformative with regulatory approval not a given at this point, especially given recent antitrust moves that have stopped large mergers in other industries. Still, the prospects for disruption to the financial services industry are significant. The Visa MasterCard duopoly would see some real competition if Capital One converts existing Visa MasterCard customers to Discover and brings new customers onto Discover. And on the debit front, keep in mind that Discover, thanks to the Durbin Amendment, can give consumers cash back on their debit cards. Visa and MasterCard cannot do that. Proposed legislation could create a similar advantage for credit card rewards. So yes, this deal is a definite network play, but not to be overlooked is the scale advantage that this deal could bring to both Capital One and Discover. In today's environment, scale really does matter. And the regional banks, the community banks, even a large number of fintechs have faced significant challenges in recent years in this harsher economic climate. The largest financial institutions have the scale to absorb the pressure, and they also have the technology and the innovation to pivot. On a distantly related note, at number two, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau reported on the first set of results from its updated Terms of Credit Card Plan survey. And in it, it revealed that large banks are charging higher interest rates on credit cards than small banks and credit unions, regardless of credit risk. The study states that the 25 largest credit card issuers charged customers interest rates up to 10 points higher than small and medium-sized banks and credit unions. Now, based on current debt levels, this can mean up to $500 additional interest for the average cardholder. And on top of this, 27% of large issuers charge annual fees. And this is compared to just 9.5% of small issuers. What does it mean for banks and credit unions? Well, consumers are a lot more price sensitive today than they were even 5 or 10 years ago. Social media is a powerful word-of-mouth tool. It's going to promote comparison shopping. And nowadays, with open banking, switching is so much easier than it was before. So regulatory scrutiny coupled with consumer demand is very likely to drive the cost to the consumer down. Lightening the load on the consumer means an increased load for everyone else in the payments ecosystem. We have to get ready for that. Number three on my list, in February, New York Community Bank saw a plunge in its stock price the first week in February after citing weaknesses in the office sector and possible stress in its multifamily portfolio as reasons to boost their loan loss provisions during the fourth quarter. All of this coming nearly a year after the high-profile collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, which kicked off a banking crisis for other regional banks. Now, New York Community Bank has a lot on its plate, acquiring and needing to convert Flagstar and Signature Bank, changes in management, including the chief risk officer, and really a no-end-in-sight downturn in the commercial real estate sector. These have been challenging for New York Community Bank, but not only for them. Taking a look at the FDIC's problem bank list from Q4 23, it doesn't appear that New York Community Bank was even on the list of 52, a sign that the New York Community Bank troubles caught the regulators by surprise, a familiar story after the Silicon Valley Bank issues last year. At number four, the latest Federal Reserve survey of senior loan officers was released at the beginning of February, and it shows that U.S. banks expect an increase in loan demand as interest rates fall. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is that they also expect loan quality to weaken across most types of loans, and they plan on tightening lending standards for commercial real estate, credit card, and auto loans in 2024. Bear in mind, auto loan delinquencies are at a 13-year high. 8.5% of credit card balances have transitioned into delinquency, and commercial mortgage delinquency rates increased nearly 60% in the past year, but still nowhere near where they were in 2010, just for some perspective. All of this said, more good news here is that the survey shows that banks are not tightening quite as much as they did in the third quarter of 23, tightening lending standards, that is, and this could broadly signal a gradual improvement in the economic outlook for the balance of 2024. Shifting gears to the credit union space, at number five, credit union earnings fell to a record low in 2023. This is according to newly released Callahan data. A credit union's return on average assets was 0.68% for the 12 months ending December 31st. That's the lowest full year ROA since it was 0.67% in 2011, and that was coming out of the Great Recession. Loan originations also fell to a record low in the fourth quarter, $125 billion. That's the lowest in years weighted by assets. Credit unions of all sizes are impacted. It's not just the small, it's not just the large. In fact, NCUA data released in February showed that the 10 largest credit unions continue to lose ground on net income on the deterioration of loan quality. Loan loss provisions across lending segments are up as 60-day plus delinquencies rose to 1.34% from 1.07% a year earlier. The uncertainty surrounding the economy and lending is going to dictate critical strategic themes in 2024, building scale to reach new markets and strategic cost management to better align expenses. The sixth headline I want to talk about is fintech layoffs. We did see a number of announcements of reductions in force in February. Toast laying off 550 employees, Block 1,000, PayPal 9% of its workforce, Brex 10%. 2023 was not a great year for fintechs, and 2024 is a continuation of that trend so far. Fintechs are continuing to cut expenses in a high interest rate environment that has slowed their funding. That's the bottom line. And on top of that, increased regulatory scrutiny of fintechs with pending regulation that could level the playing field among traditional financial institutions and fintechs means that fintechs have to get ready to take on that additional cost of compliance, something that banks and credit unions are all too familiar with. Why does this matter to banks and credit unions? Some of the companies that banks and credit unions are evaluating as partners for embedded fintech are going to require a much closer look to ensure alignment of resources to product innovation and growth. Skeleton crews and strategic execution do not go together. February headline number seven, the continuation of trouble in the banking as a service market. Lineage Bank in Franklin, Tennessee was handed a regulatory enforcement action to boost its risk management practices associated with its fintech partnerships. And we've heard this story before. Blue Ridge Bank, Cross River Bank, First Fed Bank have all been cited by the regulators on compliance weaknesses in their banking as a service business. The FDIC is requiring Lineage to go a step further than tighten up risk controls. They're prescribing limitations on the annual growth of the bank, an increase of Tier 1 capital, and of course, increased scrutiny of fintech partnerships. Did the regulators take it too far this time? It's debatable. Keep in mind that prior to the enforcement action, Lineage grew almost 1,000% in 3 years, while peers grew by about 10% annually. Now the regulators are capping annual growth to under 10%. There's talk of the sounding of the death knell for banking as a service. I just don't believe that. We're in the very beginnings of a new business model. We're going to need a lot more investment and, of course, appropriate regulatory attention to get it right. Community banks in particular need to find new growth opportunities as banking fundamentals shift, possibly permanently, and traditional revenues decline. So banking as a service is an important growth path to consider. This brings me to the eighth news headline in February, and this one really caught my attention. As an example of a maturing banking as a service market, consider Main Street Bankshares out of Virginia. They're avoiding the murky regulatory waters of fintech partnerships by building their own banking as a service platform. There's no middleware involved. Main Street, at about $2 billion in assets, is going the homemade route with Avenue, its banking as a service subsidiary. They currently have $35 million in deposits. They're targeting $225 million in 2024. That's a lot of growth. And clearly, there's a cost involved in building this kind of a platform. And here is a community bank taking on this transformational expense, potentially avoiding the higher cost of regulatory actions because they don't have the fintech partner in between I do like this approach, and of course, I'll be tracking the progress this year. The ninth headline in today's 10 in 10 comes from the hottest trend in financial services technology, bar none, artificial intelligence. According to a survey from the Institute of International Finance and Ernst & Young, 75% of U.S. financial institutions have appointed a C-suite manager responsible for artificial intelligence and machine learning ethics and governance. Half of those surveyed are developing brand new frameworks for guidance in recognition that artificial intelligence poses new risks to their financial institutions and the industry at large. So new risk management operations are required. Considering what this means to banks and credit unions long term, keep in mind that the survey participants in this particular study are the largest U.S. financial institutions with a dramatically different technology and staffing budget than a community bank or credit union. What it demonstrates, though, is a growing need for AI leadership and subject matter expertise that is in-house. Smaller financial institutions can accomplish this by elevating the role of strategic technology internally and also hiring for artificial intelligence skills. For the final headline of today's FinTech Unleashed 10 in 10, the recent J.D. Power Bank Customer Satisfaction Survey says that most bank customers are hesitant to use artificial intelligence to help manage their money, especially when it comes to AI facial recognition at ATMs and AI-powered tools that help them find the best loan products. Bank customers are a bit more open to using AI for customer service through, say, chatbots or virtual assistants, budgeting and savings advice, but still they're skeptical about those things too. What's causing this hesitancy? One in five bank customers believes that AI puts them at extreme fraud risk. Only 16% of bank customers currently believe there's no associated risk. What's clear here is that banks and credit unions are going to need to provide ample communication to their customers on the value of new AI-driven offerings, the new risks they present, how they're being managed, and how the customer and member data, money and otherwise, is safeguarded. Keep in mind that when the iPhone was introduced with facial recognition as a security feature, many of us, including myself, were reluctant to use it, and now the vast majority of us do. New technology is something that almost all of us need to understand first and then adopt. I know we'll be talking more about all of these headlines throughout 2024. Thanks for listening into this episode of FinTech Unleashed 10 in 10. I'll be back with you next month for another look at the headlines that matter most in the financial services industry. Have a great rest of your day.